You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 70.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have a very good friend of mine who is also one of the tallest dudes that I know, Scott Chambers. Scott and I met at a conference where most of the time he's the host, introducing classes and informing people on how to get the most benefit from speakers. But he is also an extremely prolific actor who has been a part of the upstart, distribution, and imaging of numerous radio stations across the country. In this episode, we talk about utilizing relationships and warm marketing, how he started hosting voiceover conferences, and setting up your business for success. So how are you doing today, Scott?
I'm good. I'm just chilling, not working. It's nice to have an off day.
Yeah. What's an off day?
I rarely have those, but on the weekends, I really try to, I try to plan time for myself because Monday through Friday, I stay so busy. Mm-hmm. That I never get a chance to take me time. So on the weekends, I like to sleep late, get me time in. It's super important. Spend time with my family. I'm lucky. I live next door. I have a house next to my parents. So they're my next door neighbors. So on Saturdays, I try to spend a little time with them out by the pool. I just relax because Monday through Friday, it's a grind. Yeah. So weekends are me time. So I slept late today. I got like 10 hours sleep and I'm feeling refreshed. Feels good.
Fantastic. So when you are grinding it, how do you start your day? Like how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Funny enough, so I drink coffee, but I have one glass a day or one cup a day, mug a day. And I don't drink it until about 11:30. I start my day in a fast-paced grind. And by fast-paced grind, here's what happens. My alarm goes off at 5:05 a.m.
Okay.
I jump up. I immediately run. I wash my face. I'm in the studio by 5:15 and I knock out some voiceover sessions. I have a standing Monday through Friday session that I do. I knock that out. And then when that's over and things calm down a little bit, I check emails, reply to people. And then finally it's like 11 o'clock and then it's time to take my break and I go and have some coffee. So most people start their morning out with their coffee, but not me. My coffee comes later in the day when things calm down. I chug water. As soon as I wake up, I drink a 30-ounce Yeti full of ice water. And that wakes me up. Then I switch to just, you know, room temperature water when I'm recording so it doesn't, like, stall my voice out. But, yeah, I don't do coffee until later in the day. I'm weird.
They actually just did a study where they found out that that's actually better for you because how caffeine works is it just kind of suppresses those sensors. And so when you first wake up, those sensors are all kind of like clustered together. So giving yourself maybe like 90 minutes to let them disperse a little bit prevents you from having that 3 o'clock clock cl 3 o'clock crash.
Say that four times.
Not 3 o'clock crash, 3 o'clock crash, 3 o'clock crash. So how did you get started in the voiceover industry? Like, how did you get wrapped up? I know you like have a little bit of a theater background, but how did you start in VO?
Yeah, so I did acting when I was young. I did theater. I did some on-camera work. I was really trying to make it as an on-camera actor. That's what I wanted to do. And my mom suggested I do voiceover when I was like 17, 18 years old. She's like, "You should do voiceover." And I'm like, "What's that? Like, what's voiceover? I want nothing to do with this voiceover stuff." So I took a completely different direction in life. I was trying to do on-camera stuff, and I had some minor things here and there that I did. I had some good auditions, which led to some minor stuff on camera, and I was doing commercials on camera. So I was doing on-camera work. But then my career path, I started working in radio and then television. So I was doing TV and radio, and then ended up with a pretty good radio resume. I became the CEO of a syndication company that syndicated
Masswave Media
radio
Group.
shows. Massway Media Group. How did you know that?
Because on your
Oh, yeah. You know what? I really don't pay and focus on LinkedIn. I know so many people do, and they're like, "You've got to focus on LinkedIn." If it works for you, that's cool. LinkedIn is just not something I really focus on. But yeah, it is on my LinkedIn. That's true. So I became the CEO of Masswave Media Group at 27 years old. And I was a pretty young CEO. I was leading this company. I had been with the Overseas Radio Network, and then I moved into that position and was overseeing national syndication for shows. And I was hosting a show at the same time. So I was literally leading this company full of radio syndication and then hosting a show. And it came to a point that my show was taking off in popularity. And they're like, "Okay, so you're either going to be the CEO or you're going to be doing the show. And we would prefer you do the show because it's bringing in good money." So I left the syndication part, was just focusing on radio. And we had this guy who was a sponsor, and he was a great sponsor of our radio show. And he was sponsoring in some of the affiliate markets where the show was on at, and he contacted me directly one night and was like, "Hey, I want you to do some commercials for my auto dealerships that are in the select markets where the radio stations are at, where your show's on." "Dave, if you're contacting me at home, you're gonna have to pay me separately to record your commercials, and you've still got to buy the advertising." He's like, "Oh, that's fine." So now I've got to do this for this guy. He was a great advertiser. I had to take care of him, right? So I always tell this story. I didn't really go seeking out voiceover. Like, it found me. Like, I stumbled into it blindly. I just so blindly, so many people. And I always feel a little guilty because I see people that work and struggle so hard to get into voiceover because it's their dream and it's what they wanted to do. And Andrew, I honest to God, I stumbled into it so blindly. So I said, "Okay, fine." And so I threw a number out to this guy. Just an astronomically ridiculous number at the time, at least I thought it was, hoping he would say no. And he's like, "Let's do it." I'm like, "Damn, now I've got to record these spots for this guy." And so I did. And he came back to me about a week later and he said, "Hey, I need four more of the same spots, same price." And I was like, "Okay, so same price, you'll do four spots." And he's like, "No, that's the same price per spot." Wow, I didn't realize it worked that way. Okay, sure, cool. So I did. And then he calls and tells me, "Hey, I've got this buddy in Texas who likes your voice on my spots. He wants you to do them for his dealerships too." And so I did. And this is back in the early to mid 2000s. This is back when everything was that really screaming voice, the "Dude, you have a job at $99, you can drive today." Like the and that's not my voice. Like, that's not me. But I could do that. I could imitate that and do it, and he liked it. And you thank God you don't hear as much of that these days. But I was doing it, and it was very unfulfilling to me because it was killing my voice. It was killing my throat. And then I would go do a 4-hour radio show every day, but I would come home and I just had stacks of these commercials I had to do. So by the end of that first year, I was making more money doing automotive dealership commercials than I was with a nationally syndicated radio show. And it was like, "This is stupid. Why am I waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going to bed at 11:30 at night, when I can make this same amount of money like wearing boxer shorts at home?" So I was coming up on contract renewal time, and I told my co-host, I said, "Look, I don't think I'm going to renew. I don't really want to renew." And he thought I was joking. He's like, you're crazy. We've been doing this together for 10 years now almost. And you're not going to leave the show. And I said, no, I really think I'm going to leave the show. And I'll never forget the day I made the decision to jump headfirst into voiceover. My co-host and I, who's a dear friend of mine, he was my best friend. He's still a very dear friend. But we would carpool to the studio together. We would work out of a studio about 3 days a week. 2 days a week, we would work from home. I had ISDN already at my house. And so a couple of days a week, I would just do the show from my house and he would do the same. But on the days we were at the network studio, we would drive together and carpool. And on that Friday, I told him, I said, hey, I contacted Juan, who was our entertainment lawyer, who was working on the contract negotiations. And I said, I talked to Juan on a Friday evening and told him I'm not going to resign. He's like, you're kidding me. I told Juan I was going to sign. And I said, well, I'm not. And I said, in my briefcase, I've got my letter of resignation, letting them know that I'm not going to re-sign the contract. And I plan on leaving in 3 months when it's up. And he didn't say a word to me the rest of the way to the studio. We went in, we did our radio show. The only time we talked that day was on the air. We got off the air. We rode back an hour drive back to where our cars or his car was parked. Didn't say a word to each other. And he was so angry at me because I had changed his life, but I was also changing my life too. And I knew I was changing my life for the better. And so he and I didn't talk for about 4 years after that. So that day, while it changed my life, it changed the dynamic of a friendship. But thank God we worked that friendship out in that relationship. But that's the day I decided to jump headfirst and do what I knew was important for me. And here I am, 14, almost 14, maybe will be 14 years later that this has been my full-time daily grind. That's so a long way home, I know, but that's how I ended up going there.
So what else was important to you about it other than just the financials?
Just the freedoms. You know, when you're doing a radio show or you're on television, you have to make appearances and you have to go to different radio markets where your show is on at. And so that requires travel and go to the airport and fly in for remote events and just meet with clients. And it, for me at that time, it wasn't fun anymore. I had had a good run in radio. And I think the fun part of radio had passed. In my early 20s, it seemed so intriguing and it seemed glamorous. And there's really nothing glamorous about the radio business, to be honest, anymore. And so it had just run its course for me. I like the freedoms of being able to get up and set my own schedule and grind it out at home. And I also knew the implications of leaving radio. I had a set paycheck that was deposited into my account every single month. And I knew in voiceover, you know, it would have the ups and downs, the roller coaster. And at the time, I guess like radio was to me in my early 20s, that seemed exciting. I knew that I was going to get out of it what I put into it. And I thought at the time, hey, I'm going to put everything I can into it. And so I did. I tried. I was putting a lot into it. And then that first year, that was it. I no longer had the voiceover income and the radio income. It was just voiceover. And something started happening and I was doing it the wrong way. I started listening to people telling me how to do it. Do it this way. Do it that way. Here's what you need to do. Yeah, you're doing a good job, but you need to do it this way. And so I started listening to people. And I'm not ashamed to say, after that first year when I went full time, I only made $27,000 and I almost starved to death because I was listening to other people. And I realized if you don't do things the way you were doing it and follow your own path and, you know, cut your own trail, you're going to starve to death. You'll be back in radio. And so I started changing things and going back to the way I was doing it, and financials started working out again. I went to VO Atlanta. It's funny. I went to a voiceover conference in Atlanta. My very first year, I was contemplating leaving voiceover and going back to radio. And I went and I listened to some people talk and I made some notes and I thought, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Do that combined with what you were doing and you'll be just fine. So I went to that conference thinking, if I don't go learn something this weekend, if things don't make sense to me at the end of this weekend, I'm going back to radio and I'll spend the next 20, 30 years in radio and retire an old man doing God knows what, you know, radio, whether it's at a syndicated level or at a local radio station doing a yard sale trade line or something, I'll probably do radio. But I came out of that weekend just on fire. Like, it lit me up inside. And I was like, I can do this. I can do that. I'll make some changes. And I did. I came home and I immediately made some changes. I was like, okay, I'm going to focus more on commercial work. I hate doing this automotive stuff. It's killing my throat screaming. Because again, this is back when the screaming stuff was important, booking a lot. And so I started booking commercials. And so I just made small changes and then things took off. And every year since I've had my business, even during the pandemic, I have had an increase in revenue every single year for 14 years now.
Gotcha. Was there anything that you learned from being like a president and CEO of a company previously that tied into your business? Like what were your roles as like CEO of Masswave Media?
Oh yeah, no, 100%. So as the CEO of that company, I was overseeing pretty much all aspects of that company. I had people that were working under me, but I was procuring the shows that were syndicated. I was helping them deal in their contracts with affiliate radio, with the company.
What is syndicated?
What is syndication?
Uh-huh.
So syndication, the easiest way to explain that, radio syndication is when you have a show that's on multiple radio stations. Instead of just working for one radio station, you work for a syndicator. And in that case, Masswave Media was the syndicator. And then Masswave provided the shows to multiple radio stations around the country. Like my show was on close to 100 radio stations. Some of the shows we were on might have been only on 20, 30 stations. But yeah, that syndication is when you're on more than one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so being a president of a company, like, were you doing like the physical like negotiations to kind of get those across multiple, distributed across multiple different channels?
Yeah, in the beginning I was, you know, in the beginning I would help procure different radio stations for people. That was sort of more in the beginning, but once I was elevated to the CEO level, it was, you know, talking with satellite distributors, things like that. Just making sure that the financials were right and the company was, you know, the CFO was doing what he was supposed to be doing. It was a lot of babysitting, to be quite honest. Once I got to that level, it seemed like it was more babysitting, and it wasn't as fun for me. Because while I'm a business mind and a business guy, it wasn't as fun as just sitting down behind a microphone, you know, telling stupid jokes with friends on the radio.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So when you were first, when you left that conference and you were first like trying to rev up your business, and you started booking more commercials, how were you booking those commercials? How were you like marketing yourself to new clients?
Marketing. What a great question. Marketing is really important in what we do as voice actors. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a big believer in, and I know a lot of people are going to go, what? I'm not a huge direct marketing guy because I feel like cold emails and cold calling people just pisses them off. And I know people, if it works for you, that's great, because I have friends that send 300 cold emails a day and they get responses. It's just never worked for me personally. So what I've done is I was very blessed to have really good contacts in the radio and television business. And I preyed upon all of my friends and contacts. That's what I did. Hey, voice for hire, hire me. And I was really lucky. And so once I started striking up those relationships again, I just started massaging the heck out of them. And now for 14 years, I have been booking with some of the repeat same clients, marketing, advertising agencies, things like that. And the way I direct market now is I continue to follow up with the companies that I've been working with. Hey, Tom, how's the wife? How are the kids? How was the trip to Belize? You know, I saw you were on San Pedro. It's my favorite island. Love going down, renting a golf cart, riding around. Send me some pics. You know, so massage those relationships. I saw a guy posted something online about taking a vacation to Serbia. And that's one of my favorite, you know, countries in Eastern Europe that I've been to several times. And so I sent him a message. Hey, you're in Serbia. That's great. You know, the Danube is awesome. It's a great place. I was at the same fortress. That's really cool. And he's like, oh man, good to hear from you. Hey, since you emailed me, I've got a spot I need you to, you know, do next week. So that's the way I wouldn't necessarily say it's direct marketing. It's just following up and keeping relationships alive. So direct marketing's never been huge for me. I feel like I'm pissing people off and bothering them. I know from the radio side of things, and I do a lot of radio imaging. I do tons of radio imaging. And I think about to when I was hiring people, when I was in the position of hiring a new imaging voice, if someone would email me, they're like, hi, here, my name's Joe. I'm a radio imaging guy. Why don't you hire me? And I'm thinking, I've got a good radio imaging person. Are you saying you're better than them? And then also I've got, you know, 85 different tasks on my plate and you're emailing me. Why are you bothering me? So I never want to be the guy that's bothering someone. I need to have a direct in to contact them or I'm going to piss them off. And that's just the way marketing works for me. But look, if marketing works for you, direct marketing and cold calling, and do it. Don't stop because I say it doesn't work for me. That's one of the biggest problems I see with voiceover is So many people say, oh, there's a wrong way to do it. There's a right way to. I don't necessarily think there's a right way or a wrong way. Now, there are certain things you can do wrong. Absolutely. But there's no right or wrong way to run your own business. Do what works for you, because I've watched people honestly start to fail because they listen to what other people are telling them to do because it's working for them. If you find something that's working for you, do it. Don't listen to other people.
So how are you finding ways to kind of do those warm follow-ups and like massage those leads if you don't have, say, if they're not on vacation or they don't have something like new going on? How do you kind of massage that without going, hey, just wanted to check in and see how you're doing, without it sounding kind of, I don't know, twofold?
Yeah, no. So a lot of, I've developed friendships with a lot of the people I've worked with over the past 14 years, and we're on social media. We follow each other on Facebook and on Instagram, and just a like here and there, you know, a comment here and there to keep that TOMA going, you know, the top of mind awareness, which is so important. You know, you can go through and like people's stuff on Facebook, but I have people like things I post occasionally, and I never know who's liking what. But if someone comments on a post, I'm like, oh, Andrew just made a comment. That's cool. I haven't heard from Andrew since I saw him in Dallas last year. Wonder what he's up to. Yeah. So just ways to stay top of mind. And I send emails out. You know, I email clients, previous clients I've worked with, at least every 2 months, just to check in and say, hey, how's it going? One of the best things too, this always works for me, is I take holidays off. I know a lot of people are like, oh no, don't take holidays off. That's when all the work comes in. I take holidays off. Holidays are important for me. I take every major holiday off, and I send out an email to all of my clients that are on my list. And I'm like, hey, going to be out of the studio from December the 22nd through January 1st. Need anything? Get it in before December 21st at like noon, because I'm out on the 22nd. And I kid you not, it seems like every time there's someone like, oh yeah, I'm going to hire you. Let's go with you. Thanksgiving. I'm taking Thanksgiving week off. People I might not have worked with in, you know, 6 months, 8 months. You send that email out and they're like, oh, I got something for you. So just ways to stay, you know, top of mind awareness, I think is real important.
A lot more casual than what I do. Usually I love Thanksgiving because that gives me an opportunity to like reach out to clients and say, hey, I'm so thankful for all the things we've done this year. It was a pleasure working for you. And then that kind of keeps me top of mind. But that's really cool that you're using your off days to book work.
Yeah, it always happens. And it's always funny too. Everyone says, oh, you know, when you go on vacation, you know, that's when you're going to book a job. I try not to work on vacation. You know, some people do. I do take a travel, you know, rig with me, because it never fails when you do radio imaging, especially around the holidays. That's when a lot of radio stations like to fire their morning show talent and bring someone new in. So if I'm taking time, it happens. It's never failed. I'm trying to think. I think the past two conferences, I know the past two conferences for sure, some of the radio stations I do imaging for have fired either their morning show or their afternoon show, and they needed some new imaging cut while I was at either VO Atlanta or One Voice. And I had to go do an imaging package for them in my room because they fired someone. So the moral of the story is, if you work in radio and Scott Chambers is going to a conference, you might be getting fired this week. That's just
gotcha.
That's the way it's worked.
So how did you start becoming like the host of conferences? How did that come to be?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Excuse me. So that's pretty interesting. I went to VO Atlanta, my first one, back in, 2013, I believe it was. And I met the former CEO of VO Atlanta, the guy that founded it all, Gerald Griffith.
Yeah.
And he and I were standing there talking one day, and he's like, so what's your background? And I told him, I said, yeah, I have a TV background. I used to be a TV host. I was a TV presenter. And he's like, I've got this idea to put together some type of like VO Atlanta TV or something. And he's like, I think I could probably use you on my team as doing interviews and hosting. And that's kind of how it started, really. And so he and I went back and forth throughout the year, and we talked about it. So the next year he had me come back, and every VO Atlanta I've ever been to, other than the first one, I've been the host. I've been running around doing interviews and interviewing fellow panelists and presenters, and standing on the main stage, you know, presenting, here's what's coming up next. And then, so that's basically how it started. And then I ended up taking on the same role at the One Voice Conference with Hugh Edwards and Peter Dixon, who run a fantastic event out of Dallas, and then also the one in London. I was very lucky to, I hosted the one in the UK last year, and I had a lot of fun. So I guess I've somehow become the conference host or the go-to conference host guy. So if you're at a voiceover conference, chances are you're going to see me on stage hosting the dang thing. And
I'll end that too.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And starting last year, I teamed up with my friend AJ McKay, who is just a phenomenal, you know, voiceover talent, former radio host himself. And he and I are tag teaming and hosting VO Atlanta. So it's no longer just on me, because it's a lot of work and it takes a lot out of you, to be honest. There's a lot that you know, happens behind the scenes. So AJ and I are doing it together, and I cannot think of a better human being I would rather be hosting VO Atlanta with than with AJ. Love working with him.
So what goes on behind the scenes? Like, what is it like? What goes on besides you popping onto a screen and reading off your phone? So here's today, we're going to be talking about blah, 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 blah. Like, what else goes into you hosting conferences?
I've signed an NDA. I can't talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. So there's a lot of work. And look, I will say everyone that works behind the scenes and puts these conferences together, whether it be Anna and J. Michael Collins at VO Atlanta, or Peter Dixon and Hugh Edwards with One Voice. I don't know what it is they do behind the scenes that makes the magic happen, because they do it all behind the scenes. I just show up and, you know, they make me look good by getting up on stage and being like, hey, here's what's coming up next. You know, this is happening at this session. So I don't really do any of the behind the scenes stuff. I see the work that happens, and the people are moving like a million miles an hour to make these conferences. Yeah. VO Atlanta's got 1,000 attendees this year. Mm-hmm. It's grown every single year. One Voice had, I don't know, I'm just guessing, like 500 last year, 400, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's just constantly, you know, it's new sessions starting almost like every 5 minutes. And so you've got all of your presenters going to the rooms they're presenting in. You've got your audio people that are running the boards going room to room. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Thankfully, I don't have to deal with the behind the scenes stuff. I just go jump on stage with a microphone and act stupid. That's what I do.
So how do they decide which stages that you jump on? Because there are classes going on in every single room all the time.
Yeah. So at VO Atlanta, we pretty primarily just work off of the main stage now, which is nice, because, you know, all of that's recorded and streamed out, or for playback later. One Voice, that conference, it's a little different. Their three main stages are streamed live. So and they're staggered by 5 minutes to allow me to go introduce the main stage. Then I go to the second room and I introduce the second stage. Then I come off stage, immediately grab another mic in the next room, and I introduce the third. So it's boom, boom, boom. Then I have a 30-minute break, and then I'm back. Boom, boom, boom. So it's just constantly moving throughout the day.
That's crazy. So yeah. going back to radio imaging, how has your radio imaging work changed since you first started getting in, and it was all screaming or promo-y, and then now it's getting like a little more casual, but still one of the few places you can still do that trailer read? Like, how has it changed for you?
It's changed a bit. A lot of it's still the same. I mean, you know, I've got alternative stations that you know, kind of want that gravelly type voice, the rock stuff that wants the gravelly. And then I think the biggest change, honestly, in 14 years is country. I think country music stations that's been the biggest change, because used to they wanted the grandpa, you know, country tractor driving ballsy type voice, you know, on a country station. And I wasn't doing those. Like, that's not my voice, you know? And now they want more of a casual guy next door. Honestly, nowadays, radio imaging for a country station is very similar to the work I might be doing on a CHR station. You might have the same voice in a company that does the adult contemporary station doing your country station. It's just your guy next door, or girl next door, your friendly casual read on a country station. So I think that's probably been the biggest change in radio imaging is the country market overall, because they're getting away from that tractor driving grandpa sound, you know, which was never me. That was never me anyway. So it allows me to work in country radio imaging wise now.
Gotcha. So when you were the decision maker in like hiring imaging people, even though you've mentioned multiple times how much you hate cold marketing, were there any times that somebody did cold market to you where it kind of like made you do a second take and go, you know what, maybe? Like, was there anything that standed out for like people that are wanting to cold market where they don't have those relationships built?
No. Honestly, no. I always remember every single, and I don't remember every single one because I think times have changed a bit. And when I think back to the early 2000s, you know, people were emailing stuff. I remember people mailing CDs. I remember getting CDs via FedEx. You know, people would send compact discs with their radio imaging stuff on it. And yeah, there were times we would get stuff that was good. I remember at one station getting a David Tyler package, who the guy is freaking phenomenal, but we had our imaging stuff set. Now, if I could go back and redo it, I would have, now knowing and having met David Tyler, I would go back and be like, yep, that's who I want. yeah, that's who I want, because I know he's a great guy. But no, I never made that change, because once you're set with an imaging voice, and that radio imaging is really hard to get into. It's a hard market to crack. I've been really lucky to have so many good contacts in the business. And that's why I've been as lucky with radio imaging, because I come from that background. I know the right people to contact. But cold marketing in radio imaging is a tough one, because you're literally going to someone saying, hey, my name is Scott Chambers and I am better than your radio imaging guy. I mean, that's tough. You know, that's tough. I still, to this day, I consult a couple of radio stations. That's how I dabble in the radio business to this day. Mm-hmm. They send me money to tell them what they're doing right or doing wrong. And I, part of that, one of the things I do as their consultant is I help them choose their imaging voice to this day. And about 10 years ago, I made a decision to take this rock station and get rid of the voice they had. The guy was good, but he had been on in this market for about 10 years, and he was just sort of running its course. There was nothing unique about it. There was nothing. And one day I was driving along and I just had this idea. I think I should put a female voice as the imaging voice on this male-oriented rock station. Get me someone that sounds like a badass. Get me someone that's, you know, going to be in your face, but also sound really cool while doing it. And immediately the first person that came to mind was Randy Thomas.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want Randy Thomas. That's exactly who I want on this radio station. And so I got Randy Thomas. And she's been the voice on this radio station for, God, 11 years now. She does all of the imaging, and I do the promos for that station. So it's Randy and I are both imaging this station. We're not on any work together, but it just has a good sound, and it works. And the funny thing is, once I put Randy Thomas as the imaging voice on that station, three of the other stations in that market ditched their imaging voices that had been on for 20 years or more and put female imaging voices on. So now the main radio stations all in this market near Birmingham, Alabama, are all the lead voices are female imaging voices. So you've got Randy, who is the best, and then you have some others that are pretty good. So radio, I don't even remember the question now. I could go on and talk about radio imaging all day.
Well, so if people are very set on, once they get a radio imaging voice, not changing it, for people that are trying to get into radio imaging, what are different ways to find a radio station that maybe is about to come to fruition?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a pretty good question to, you know, that, and that's pretty good because there are changes that are made. Mm-hmm. Occasionally you will have changes. I think to a country station that I'm affiliated with, that had the same imaging voice since like 1988, and he passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago. And so they had no choice but to change imaging voices because their guy had just died. So occasionally you're going to have sad situations like that where people have to make the change. So if you've, you know, sent a package out, you've emailed people, they may remember you. Hey, you know, I always try to think in the back of my mind, if something were to happen to this voice at this station I'm consulting, who would I get? And I know in the top of my head right now, the three voices I would immediately hire if, God forbid, something happened to imaging voice A. I know imaging voice B, who I'm going to put on there. It's okay to email these people, but just don't expect a response immediately. And I always tell people when they're first starting out in radio imaging, don't waste your time cold calling or email marketing all the major players like your iHearts, your Odysseys. They're set. They've got their in-house voices that they're going to. They're never going to go with John Doe. They've never heard of. they're going to hire the voice that they've been using on multiple formatted stations, most of them from in-house. So your best bet, at least, again, if it works for you, go do it. But I'm just telling you, this is what I know, and this is what works for me. I'm not telling you for sure, don't do it. But I think it would probably be a waste of your time. You're better set to email the mom and pops, the smaller mid-level market stations that are family-owned, or maybe they only own 2, 3, 4, 5 stations. Stay away from your national chains like your iHearts and your Odysseys, because you're wasting your time. You're just treading water at that point.
Gotcha. So where do you go? And like I said, where do you go to find maybe a station that might be new, that might be opening up? How can you test before, like, where do you find stations before they go to air?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never personally found a radio station that had just been granted a new license. Yeah, I mean, it's all public information. You can go online and find out, you know, who's applied for FCC licenses to put a new station on. But the spectrum is pretty full. You know, if this were 1978 and, you know, the transition were slowly starting to happen from AM to FM when they were putting FM stations on, yeah, that would be a booming time to start doing FCC license research to find out who's putting FM stations on. But for the most part, the spectrum's already there, and, you know, the stations are already out there. It's very rare that new stations are coming online. But there are format changes, which I think is honestly the root of your question that you're asking, is about a format change. A lot of those are pretty secretive. You know, you might be listening to your favorite radio station that's been country for 20 years, and you're driving along at 5 o'clock on a Friday, they pull a switch and it goes pop. You know, and immediately new imaging voice comes on, and we just went from, you know, 102.7 the Tractor to 102.7 hits FM. So format changes happen all the time. Those do happen. And a lot of times, if you're current imaging voice, you know, sometimes they'll say, hey, we're changing from this format and we're going to keep using you. But I've had it happen to me. I've had it happen to me. It's, hey, Scott, we love what you do, but we're changing formats and we're going to use a different voice. I'm like, oh boy, great, losing that station. You know, but hey, we're going to keep you around. We may use you for this station or that station. So, I mean, just stay up to date on what's happening, you know, with your current clients you have. Really, just as far as finding a new format, I don't know, because I've never, oh, they're putting this station on, I need to contact them and tell them I should be their voice. I don't have an answer for you.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you were to write a letter back to yourself when you first started to dive headfirst into full-time voiceover, what would you tell old Scott?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for right at this moment. I'm going to have to think about that one. Plus, I needed to take a hit off my vape. I've been 30 minutes and I haven't had nicotine. I'm sitting here pretending like I don't vape and I don't need nicotine. I'm gonna have to think about that one for a second. Hopefully you edit these, because
I do.
I need a 10-second break. Holy shit.
No worries. You're good. Yeah, no, I edit them all together.
Hopefully my answers have been okay so far.
They've been amazing. They've been fantastic.
I've got that right answer. I just needed nicotine, bro.
You're good.
I needed nicotine so bad.
You've seen me at conferences. I go outside every once in a while. I have my vice too.
I gave up cigarettes 5.5 years ago.
How?
I just put them down one day. I never craved another one. I just put them down. I cold turkey. And it's funny. My mom, every time I was around my mom, she would give me hell. You're a voice actor. You can't kill your throat by smoking cigarettes. Are you stupid?
If I want to sound like Will Arnett, I will.
And I was like, the more you bitch at me about smoking cigarettes, I'm just going to keep smoking. Quit.
Yeah, you're stressing me out. Like,
you are stressing me. Yeah, you are stressing me the fuck out. Stop. And finally, one day, I don't know what it was. I woke up and I had a cough when I woke up that morning. And I'm like, that's not good. I have like 5 pages of radio imaging to knock out and I sound horrible. And so I had 2 cigarettes in my pack and I finished up the imaging. I went out and I had my cup of coffee and I smoked a cigarette. And then I remember I was driving and I finished the last one. And when I put it out, I thought, I'm not going to buy another pack. And I just didn't. I didn't buy another pack. And I wasn't even vaping at the time. I just stopped cold turkey. And I probably went 3 months before I ever even thought about buying a vaporizer. Just never had a craving. And to this day, there's been one time I've taken a puff off of a cigarette, and that was after VO Atlanta last year. Mm-hmm. Some of us went out to dinner, and JMC always does his Bad Boys of VO or whatever, where everyone takes a photo and a cigar. It wasn't even a cigarette. It was a cigar. And I posed for the photo with a cigar in my hand, and I took a couple of puffs off of it. But that's it. Otherwise, I hit a vaporizer, and I vape quite heavily. And so now my mom, she works as my assistant, by the way. She deals with my agents and my clients. She handles all of my emails for me. And so she's around me quite a bit here in my office. And she's always like, stop vaping, stop vaping. And I'm like, you're stressing me out. I can't stop vaping if you continue to harass me about this.
Right.
But my goal is to quit nicotine completely this year. That's my goal. But I don't know if it's going to happen.
I wish you luck.
Thank you. Okay, so one more sip and I'll get back to your question.
Okay.
I needed that little refresher.
No worries.
So if you want to ask it again, I'll answer it.
So if you could write a letter to yourself back when you were first jumping full-time into voiceover, what would you tell old Scott?
Do it. Don't be scared. I look back now and I think to when my mom, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, my mom tried to get me to do voiceover when I was late teens. I wish I would have listened to her then, because I could have skipped the whole radio life and I would have went into voiceover then. And probably who knows, I might not have been successful in my early 20s. So, you know, you can never go back and say, what if, but right. I do wish I would have started earlier. I wished I would have found voiceover earlier in life, because I didn't really get into voiceover until my late 20s. And yeah, I was in my late 20s when I started, and now I've got a couple of gray hairs popping up in my beard. You know, I'm over 40 now. It's hard to believe. I've hit 40 now. Oh my God. But yeah, it's don't be scared. Just go head first into it. Now, a lot of people also, when they say go head first, they think that means, oh, go quit your job and sit at home behind a microphone and you're going to be a voice actor. Do not do that. That is the worst advice I've ever heard. Don't leave your job to go full-time into voiceover until you can replace the income that you're making at your current job. And maybe even...
And have a nest egg.
Exactly. Don't even at that point go, okay, I've replaced it. Because you might be booking really well. I mean, look, even to this day, I've been very blessed in the bookings I get. But there are up and down months. And if I didn't have money in the bank and I didn't have savings and I didn't have real estate investment, like there would be times it would be like, oh boy, oh boy. So yeah, make sure you can replicate the same amount of money you're making at your previous job before you go head first into voiceover. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wish I would have started earlier. So if I could write myself a letter, it would just be, don't be afraid. There's going to be ups and downs. Take the good with the bad. You know, and all of this sounds so cliche, but I always tell people there are far more stormy days with thunder and lightning and rain that will be over your head in this industry than there are the sunny days with sunshine and rainbows.
Oh yeah.
But on the days you have those wins and you get that big ass booking, that it is sunshine and rainbows, it makes up for all of those shitty stormy days. It really does, tenfold. So yeah, I would just tell myself, don't be scared. And it really is a business. You need to have some type of business sense. You've got to have strong, thick skin, and you've got to have some business sense, or you're going to get lost in this industry. No question.
Well, I concur, man. That's awesome. So where can people find Scott Chambers and all your demos and your website and all of your work and all of those amazing things?
Where can they find me, or where can they find my work? Because if you want to find me, probably out on a beach sipping a margarita. Or out by my swimming pool. That's where you can find me most of the time. About 6 years ago, I moved down to a beautiful little barrier island in Florida. That I'm a beach junkie. I love the life I have here. And so I do my voiceover stuff. Then I go lay on the beach in the afternoons. That's my life now. And that's because I put a lot of hard work into it, you know, honestly. And I still work hard. Trust me, I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm not living the dream life with dump trucks backing up to my house, dropping money off y'all. That's not the case.
Oh, I thought trust you were me. Just Scrooge McDucking it, like just diving into piles of gold.
No, I work to pay my mortgage. There's no question. I work hard behind this microphone. That's for sure. But yeah, you can find my stuff at scottchambersvo.com. And my website's nothing fancy. There's nothing special about my website at all. It's a landing page for me. You know, there's so many beliefs. And again, this more advice. There are so many beliefs that you've got to have a perfect website and beautiful SEO, and you've got to have a tagline and a marketing slogan. That works for you. That's great. That's perfect. I don't need a tagline and a marketing slogan. My clients keep coming back to me. I work with great people. They don't care if my tagline is the world's tallest VO. Like, they don't give a shit. But I know people it works for, and I know people that make a ton of money off selling those packages too. Good for them. They're my friends, but that just doesn't work for me. My website's a landing page. It's not fancy. SEO is not really there. It's a place on the internet. If people need to find, if I have a website, I got it. Some of my demos are outdated, but I'm still booking work. I had a voiceover friend of mine who's been in the industry about 2 years. Your SEO is not up to date. Your website's not up to date. You're just not going to book work like that.
Do you get a lot of those emails where like people are like, hey, your SEO is messed up?
All the time. I hate them. I absolutely hate them. Again, what works for you, works for you. What works for me, works for me. It's like the SEO. And I get those SEO emails all the time and they drive me batshit crazy. I don't open them. They go straight to spam. When it comes to work, as I mentioned, the demos on my website, which I do, I know I'm going to update those because they just need to be, I've got to splice together some current work of imaging and commercials because it is out of date. But posting work, you know, that's another thing. I had someone ask me recently, they're like, are you booking right now? Because you're just not sharing online what you're doing. And I'm like, I don't share my stuff online. I know people that do, and that's fine if that's what y'all want to do, but yeah. I've never been an oversharer like that. Now, I will overshare and talk about using a bidet. I'll talk about my bathroom habit, but I'm not going to talk about my job, bro. I'm not going to talk about my work life. Because here's an example. I had one time, the one flipping time I posted about a job. I was really excited. I had booked a gig as the imaging voice of a syndicated radio show. And I didn't think there was any problem. I didn't think there was any conflict of interest. But it turns out one of my biggest clients I had worked with for a long time owned a chain of radio stations, multiple radio stations in several markets where this nationally syndicated show was on in. And he just did not like the show I was voicing for. He didn't like the host of the show that I was voicing for. And he told me that if I did not come off as the imaging voice of that show, that he was going to pull me from all of the work I did for his stations. And you know how he found out about that I was the imaging voice of it? He saw a Facebook post. He saw one of my Facebook posts. This guy would have never known had I not opened my mouth. So I learned a lesson right then. Keep your powder dry. Don't talk about the work you're doing. No one gives a shit. You look braggadocious. At least in my mind, there's no reason to go brag about it. You know, I see people post all the time. Oh, did an audition today. Great. That's awesome. Happy for you. I don't need to know about it. But if you want to, and it makes you feel good, hey, go do it. But that's just not my cup of tea. I don't like talking about it. I'm responsible. I owe an answer to, I guess, really 2-3 people. That's my clients, the IRS, and myself. I don't really have to communicate with anyone else. So I just don't talk about it. My friends that do, and that's fine if that's what y'all want to do. I just don't like personally talking about it.
Last question. Are you the world's tallest VO?
Dude, you know, someone actually suggested
you are
that
one of the time. Meeting you in person, you are one of the first people I had to look up to like meet you at eye level. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. Someone actually, one of those marketing guru wizards, actually told me that my tagline should be the world's tallest VO. And I'm like, yeah, because if you're a casting director or You're going to be hiring me for a campaign. You really give a shit about how tall I am. Of course.
If they're going to hire you for a how tall green I am giant,
and,
maybe.
No, they'll find out how tall I am. And they'll be like, no, we just needed to cast someone who was shorter. It just doesn't sound right. You know, so it's not important to me. Am I the world's tallest CEO?
Our apologies. The studio power was cut off by a major storm. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Hi there.
Thanks for bearing with me through that, man.
No worries. I had to run brush my teeth. I had been eating handfuls of Nerds clusters.
Oh, okay. All right.
And my mouth was blue. So am I the world's tallest VO? Maybe. It's possible. So I know a couple of people that are really tall. Tim Tippetts is one. He's 6'6". So anytime we stand next to each other, I'm like, hey, we're the same height. Brad Hyland, my buddy Brad's a really tall guy. Brad's tall. Like 6'5".
Yeah. Brad's got 2 inches on me.
Yeah, Patrick Kirchner is really tall too. Pat's it's funny because when you put Brad and Pat and I next to each other, it's like the three horsemen or something. I mean, like, we're big, tall dudes, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's possible. Like, if you're at a voiceover conference and see me, I'm probably going to be the tallest guy there for the most part because I'm 6'7". Now, I mean, to be completely straight up honest about it, and also being a man and I want the extra half inch, I'm going to make sure I get that credit in. I'm 6'7". So, you know, I mean, every inch counts, right? So I'm 6'7½". But yeah, so I just say 6'7". So yeah, I could be the world's tallest voice actor. I actually had a marketing wizard once tell me, no, that should be your tagline. World's tallest VO. Nobody cares. No one cares. But yeah, I'm a pretty tall dude for sure.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on, man. This has been a blast.
Yeah, I've had fun. Andrew, I appreciate you having me on. We've talked about it forever.
Yeah,
and I watch all of your videos. I look at some of the guests you've had, and I'm like, I am not worthy.
That's not true.
I'm not worthy compared to all of your other guests, for sure. But it is an honor to be on here. I appreciate the work you do for the community. You know, you're one of the smiling faces we see at conferences and we see around, and you're a great voice actor in your own right. But I personally appreciate what you do for the community because you ask the questions that are important. And you know, there's someone out there like I once was interested, I guess, in the business, and they can learn from these things. So thanks for, you know, doing what you do, Andrew.
Yeah, my pleasure. I really hope you enjoyed hearing Scott's insight into the voiceover industry and his journey to truly becoming a true foundation within the community. If you'd like to check out more information on Scott, you can visit him at scottchambersvo.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.